Praise God. We're going to start out the area we left off last week. We're looking at reasons and things that really that we know that of why we if we speak in tongues, praying in tongues, or whatever you know that we're doing, flowing in the Holy Spirit in the area of tongues. In doing it, what does it really do for us? What does it accomplish? We've been looking at different things. One of the things that where we stopped last week was in Romans, the 8th chapter. And I want to go back over there. We're going to look at Romans, the 8th chapter. And we're looking at verse 26 and 27 because we're going to pick up in there. But I just want to go back over to reiterate some things we talked about, and then we'll take off from there. But one of the things that we want to do is in our prayer lives is we want to pray the perfect will of God. And we understand this fact that you and I are all limited on how much we know because of the amount of knowledge we have. There's nobody that knows everything. There's nobody that knows everything about the Bible or about the Word. And so when we come along to the area of the perfect will of God, you know, many times if you and I would pray about things, there's some things that like really are outside, or we maybe have a certain amount of knowledge of it, but we're limited in that knowledge. We would pray about, we wouldn't really be praying out God's perfect will. This is one of the things in the areas of tongues, because tongues gives us the ability to pray the perfect will of God in a situation. Things that beyond what we know. And Romans 8 and verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And in verse 26, in other words, we know we're supposed to pray, but our weakness is the fact that we don't always know what to pray about. That's a weakness that we are as humans. We are limited in our knowledge. Thank God we're growing in knowledge. I mean, there's things that I would know a whole lot more about what the will of God is to pray today than I would have known 10 years ago or I would have known 20 years ago that I know today. But still, even if we may consider ourselves very knowledgeable in areas, there's things, especially with praying for people, you don't know everything about what's going on. I don't know about you. I mean, many times what we see is what's happening from the outside. But what is causing, you know, this, whatever's happening or going on that we want to pray about for an individual or something? What's actually taken place? What's the cause? Well, the cause can be sometimes for the same manifestations on the outside, there could be numbers of causes. And so to find out how to really pray, and this is one of the things where we can pray for people and situations, that, like praying for our nation or whatever it might be, we can pray into things that really are outside our knowledge or maybe things we would never even know about unless God would specifically tell us. And so when we get into this area, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us with that weakness that we have. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. We know we ought to pray, and we pray as far as we can. But that's one of those things, is, and I'd said last week, where I come over, when I do my praying, I'll be praying about something, and I'll just say to the Lord, Lord, I, you know, this is what I know about this, and I'll pray, and I'll say, God, I know the way you want this to turn out, or I know what you want to go on in this situation. I know what you want the outcome, but I may not know how to pray exactly to bring that outcome, because I don't know everything about it. And I'll just say, Father, right now I'm just going to yield to the Holy Ghost, and I'm just going to trust the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to pray out whatever it is, and I'll just start praying in other tongues concerning that thing. And we have that ability to do that. And that's one of the things we'll talk about later on, but that's one of the things about operating in the areas of faith. Tongues is a wonderful thing because it helps you to use your faith. Because praying in tongues is about operating in faith. It's about operating in the unseen. You're not operating out of the realm of what you see, what you feel, you're operating in an area. You're just trusting God that what you're praying, the Holy Ghost, is working through you and making sense of what don't make sense to you at all. And so that's what we begin to do, to pray in tongues. And, I do that all the time. Even in, you know, in situations where every day, if I'm praying for our government, I'll just say, Father, I'll pray things that I know and do and say, now, Lord, I'm just going to yield you my tongue. And I'm going to let you pray out your perfect will and plan for our president, for, you know, our elections and things, and just let God, because, you know, all the things going on about all the people. Did you ever think about this? I mean, if you figured all the voters there are out there, and you're going to pray for a nation and stuff, well, man, you better have God helping you, because you wouldn't know what to do. And so, and this is the wonder. This is why people, Christians, need to understand this, that we can control outcomes of elections if we will yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost. because God can begin to work in the hearts of people. But see, most of the time the church has tried to do things just like the world does. We, you know, we get enough advertisement out there, if we can influence. You know, there's one thing that I've learned just watching over the last three or four major presidential elections. People are usually pretty decided going in to what they're going to do. And people have their opinions and ideas going in. And most people, they don't change. You can put all the things you want out there to them. It's like to me, it's like people say, do you watch the presidential debates? No. I said, whatever is said on there ain't going to change my mind about what I believe at all. So I said, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not moved by that. I said, they can sit and say what they want. I said, not interested in what somebody says. I'm interested in what they do. You know, I can hear the wind blow, but I'm interested in what they do. And so I just say, I don't pay attention to it because, you know, somebody's not going to sway me. I know the direction. I've prayed. I've asked God what to do. I know the direction I'm going in. And so I'm going to walk in that direction, and that's not going to sway me. And so people get this idea, we're going to spend all this money. What needs to be influenced is the heart of men. And people's hearts, that's their spirit, whether it's saint or sinner. And they're going to be influenced by spiritual forces. When you pray in tongues, you're in the spirit realm. You're touching into the spirit realm. That's what changes things. That's what changes things. If you want to change things in the spirit realm, then you must be in the spirit to do it. Praying in tongues will take you into the spirit. And you'll start to deal with things in the realm of the spirit. So this is what we want to do. This is why it's so important in getting into these areas to let the Holy Spirit hook up in us, where we don't know what to do as we ought. And praying, and this is one of the things that's turning around the changing of our nation. There's going to be a lot going to be changing in our nation. There's going to be a lot of things. A lot of people are worried about all the bleak stuff and things. I'm going to tell you what, don't worry. What's one of the worst things you can do is worry. But don't be concerned about these things. When the church prays and the church starts moving in a direction, the devil can do what he wants. But I'll tell you what, the church is going to determine the outcome if they allow God to do His will through them. And the church has finally got smart. There's a lot of the church people have got smart. If you have noticed how the churches haven't jumped in this election like they did with others, they have finally got on their knees. Rather than got out, you know, with all the other junk and all the other stuff like they did before. And we ended up in the situation, whether people realize it, whether church people like it or not, the church has been a huge part of the problem of this nation. It's been what's wrong. The church has been messed up. Well, the church, there's a good portion of people in the church. There's a remnant in the church that said, hey, hold it, we're going after God. And it's changing the hearts of men. And that's what we need to understand, is we can change the hearts of men, because when we pray, God, you know, we need to know all these angels out here that have been sitting around and doing nothing for years, because the church ain't been doing nothing for years in the nation. And those angels are going to work, working on the hearts of people. They can influence. I'll tell you, I believe God can have more influence on people than the devil can. The church has had more influence on what the devil's doing. And I have great influence on what angels. I mean, God must be pretty big because He got a hold of me and got me saved. He's a pretty big God. Because He got a hold of me when I wasn't after God, didn't want to have nothing to do with God, hated any Christian there was around and everything. Yet, God got me. So, I mean, He can get people. And that's what we have to put our faith over in the fact, as we pray that divine influence upon the heart of man is bigger than demonic influence. And we're going to see that, and it's going to be proved out in this nation through this election that's coming up. And so, you know, understand the power that you have when you allow the Holy Ghost work in you in your prayer life. It's amazing. It's amazing what God can do through people. So, God is helping in our weakness. So we may have a weakness, but the Holy Spirit's there. What He is our helper. Always remember, the Holy Ghost is your helper. There's things and stuff that, like, we may be anointed of God to do things, but I'm going to tell you what, we're anointed by the Holy Spirit. We may have the ability to do certain things, but still you cannot do what you do without the help and cooperation of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So you thank God for His grace on our life, but we need the Holy Ghost working together with us. And we get over in this area, we can pray about things, and through really a divine intercession, And really, that's what it is. It's divine intercession. There is no intercession unless the Holy Spirit's hooked up with you. There is no intercession. The Holy Ghost has to be hooked up with you. You can't intercede for what the Holy Ghost ain't moving in. And so this is why we want to hook up with the Holy Ghost. And so if we do that, He'll help us in our inability to bring about results. Hallelujah. But His ability will go to work for us. He says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that wonderful to know? I don't know what the will of God is, but I can pray it out. That's absolutely phenomenal. But see, people get on, well, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't care. I am not, this I know. If it's the will of God, it's the best thing that could ever happen to Ed Gibson. If it's the will of God, it's the best thing could happen to anybody that I know. If it's the will of God, it's the best thing that ever happened to the nation. If I know that and believe that, why on earth do I have to have all the detail? I should just be rejoiced and glad knowing, hallelujah, when I'm speaking in tongues, when I'm praying in tongues and the Holy Ghost is hooked up to me, it's a working and it's bringing God's best on the scene. Hallelujah. I don't have to know how you got it. I just want to enjoy it. See, I know so many people, their great pleasure in life is not having any pleasure in life. It's about knowing everything. I don't have to know everything. I will just want to enjoy some stuff. And you know what? I want the pleasure that we can have in this life by God's will getting done in the earth. Hallelujah. Because it's a blessing to all humanity. And so think about the power that you have in prayer. You know, did you ever think about the fact that God the Holy Spirit praying through you hooks up with God the Father to bring God's will to pass? Now, what do you think could stop that? I mean, think about it. Who's gonna stop God? And all we're doing is when we yield to God, we're just yielding our authority to Him to speak through us to bring His will to pass. God is talking to God about what He wants to do, and it's going to happen. Hallelujah. And the more we get in faith about that, I mean, the more, I'll tell you, the more you'll find yourself praying in other tongues, the more you'll find yourself praying out the will of God. Hallelujah. There's one thing is you will find out, the more you pray along these lines and do these things, you'll find over time that more God gives you revelation about what you're doing too. And not all the time. Lots of times I pray. I mean, I pray in tongues sometimes for a couple hours. I don't specifically know what I'm praying for, but I know one thing inside of me. It's building me up. Hallelujah. So I know that on the inside of me. And that's what's important, to know what's going on in the inside. And I don't have to know exactly what I'm talking about or what I'm saying. Sometimes, praise God, God gives us revelation about what we do and what we're praying. And enjoy that when He does. Hallelujah. So we're praying. We know how to pray to a point, and pray what you do know. Pray what you understand. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing matter with that. Pray what you know. Number one, you want to develop more in your understanding area and that stuff. You'll find this out. I've learned over my Christian walk. There's things because over time I've learned some areas. I know how God operates in things, and I know areas of what He would want. And what has happened is over time of spending time with God, I know what God's will is, and God's will has become my will in areas that I know well about. And God can entrust me, and I've said this before, where God has said to me on a number of occasions at times, what would you like to have done about this? In other words, He'll ask you, why? Because you come to the place where He can trust you with making decisions on things, and He'll let you determine how you want things to turn out in areas, even in other people's lives. He's done that already with me. He asked me concerning individuals. I'd been praying about individuals and problems were going on. And He said, what do you want done about it? And I told Him exactly what I want done about it. And it turned out exactly what I said I wanted done. And so God will learn to trust you. And this is wise. Get over in these areas, because it isn't a matter that, you know, we're so bright and we're so smart. There's one thing is, I mean, I was astounded the first time that God said that to me, because I was a young Christian. I thought, dear Lord, thought, why would you ask me on the subject? Maybe you ought to go ask somebody else. Should I tell somebody else what's going on here and maybe get their opinion? But he starts to ask us because, and number one, he'll do this because when God sees in you that you start with you start stepping in toward him and you start walking toward him, he'll start, it's just like we do with children. As they start to develop and they start to take responsibility in things, you can start to give them responsibility. In other words, you can start to let them make decisions. You start to do that. And God will do that to you. That's the way he works things. That's the way he carries things out for people, to make decisions. And so let him work in you and make decisions so God's decisions can be carried out through you so God's will can be done. So let God work in you in those areas. Now, we want to continue on here with this. One of the things that we deal with, we'd said last week in Ephesians in 6:12, I said about the scriptures, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We're dealing with demonic powers out here. We teach before in this area, we don't want to get into the people fight. And when you get over in your prayer life, remember, demonic forces are involved in things. And again, we don't know sometimes to what degree or what things are actually happening in the spirit realm. There's some things sometimes we can sense, sometimes things we do know. But what you want to do is you want to hook up with God and understand, always keep it over there. There's things in the spirit realm that need dealt with. Understand, God touches in through the spirit realm. God works from the spirit realm to change things in the natural realm. That's what he does. It's from the spirit. Divine healing comes from the spirit side. It doesn't come from the physical side. That's why people have a hard time believing for divine healing, because they're always stuck on the physical side where the physical problem is. But God, divine healing is from the spiritual side. So working on that, God works it from the spiritual side. A doctor works from the physical side trying to heal. But God works from the spiritual side. So we're dealing with things over on the spirit side. So when we're dealing stuff, problems, things going on, sometimes people are being oppressed by demonic forces and things and stuff. You have to understand that. You have to know that. You know, we get mad sometimes. People do this or do that. We get all upset about it. We don't realize. We go blame the person for everything. But it's not always the person. We got to understand there's demonic forces. There's temptations. All of us put up with pressure. All of us put up with things where demonic forces, and sometimes, you know, what we get even sometimes with ourselves. We look at everything on the natural standpoint, even with ourselves. We don't really understand sometimes that we're being tempted by demonic forces to do things. We have things operating against us, and it's not just human beings. Now, sometimes the devil, you know, uses human beings to come along and do things, but... And you know, sometimes those people, I mean, they don't, loads of times people don't realize they're being used. You know, I've had situations come up where dealing with people and had to talk to them about demonic forces using them and things. And, you know, they're Christians and they get all mad about the fact, well, the devil does something. Yeah, I said, well, in other words, you tell me you did what you did because you're just a mean, ornery person? Is that what happened? Is that what you're telling me? Well, hold it. But people get used, and understand, these influences come against us. You know, people, sometimes, you know, I remember Randall Greer telling a story, told us about this minister. He didn't tell us who the guy was or anything, but he said a minister is a very large ministry, but some of the things that he was going through, and he talked to Randy about the fact that, you know, this guy, you know, knowing the word of God and everything, but he was under such demonic pressure from things that were coming against him because of walking, of his ministry, really carrying out God's plan, the devil just coming against him, and he has had all kinds of hard times, and I mean going through miserable stuff and stuff happening to him and things going on and dealing with demonic. And see, what people get over, but what happened to him, really, from the standpoint, he wasn't looking like, you know, well, why am I dealing with all this? And you know, he realizes they're a devil, he knows the word, but he's not really dealing with the demonic powers. And see, getting over in those areas, one of the areas is praying in tongues is really helpful in that area of praying in other tongues, because of dealing with things in the realm of the spirit because if you try to fight it on a natural plane, well, man, you know, after a while, you'll just be seeing a psychiatrist. I mean, you're just, you know, after a while, you're just going to, well, what's wrong with me? After a while, you're just going to quit and back off. You know, that's what a lot of people do. When pressure comes, eventually they just back off and let the devil do whatever he wants to do just so they don't have as much pressure on themselves is to walk forward. But they never deal with what the problem is and their demonic problems. And this is the area that we pray. We don't always know how to pray as we ought. And many times I've gotten revelations through praying in tongues. I've gotten revelations about what is actually what the demonic powers that have been going on in things and what's been happening about stuff. But it's been over praying in other tongues about things. So you surely want to know. And even with yourself going through things, you want to know what on earth is going on. What's been working against you? And, you know, it's not the thing we're going to sit and say, well, the devil did it, you know, and that stuff. Well, you know, we cooperate with them. But sometimes, I'm going to tell you what, people get under horrendous pressure. People can get under horrendous pressures. And so you need to, this is a wonderful way that God can pray through us to carry out the will of God. Understand this about, though, the Holy Spirit doesn't do our praying for us. I remember Kenneth Hagin tell a story. A woman come to him one time concerning these scriptures and said, since I found out the Holy Ghost prays for me, I don't pray much for myself anymore. And that's not what this scripture says. The scripture here tells us, this scripture tells us when we don't know how to pray as we ought, it tells us the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's not telling us that the Holy Spirit is praying for us, and we're not praying. In fact, P.C. Nelson, years ago and before his death, was considered the number one authority on the Greek language, really the Greek language of the Bible, in America, which is different because the Greek language as spoken today is not the Greek language that was spoken when the Bible was when the New Testament was written, and. Just to get an idea, this guy's P.C. Nelson was quite a spiritual man, wrote some wonderful books and stuff and things, is good ministry. But P.C. Nelson could read and write 32 different languages. Dear Lord, that's 31 more than me. And I don't know if I do this one very well. It's like 32 different languages. You know, to me now, like that's to me is a bit on the divine side. You know, that there's a, you know, guy I believe, you know, sometimes gifted to God in those areas and things, is just praise God. But he said concerning this verse here, he said in its writing with the Spirit, how the Spirit helps us. He made this statement. He said literally it says this, that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. And he said articulate speech is really our regular kind of speech. In other words, under our regular language. He said that literally is how that should be written. Well, I'm just going to take what he says for it because he knows a lot more about it than I do. I'm not telling you that because I know the Greek. But there's one thing that I do know this. Through practicing this, I found it to be true. Praying in other tongues and letting God help me pray in situations where I didn't know how to play as art and see how God works in things. I know for sure this works. Hallelujah. So even if I'm not the Greek scholar, I found out just through doing it that it works. So if you practice it, it'll work out. It'll work for you. So when we are praying in tongues, through the Holy Spirit guiding us in these things, we can pray for what we don't know how to pray for as we ought. So the Holy Spirit doesn't do our part. We have a part that we play. But the Holy Spirit cooperates with us in prayer. So we need to be praying. We don't stop praying, but we work together. In fact, that's the scriptures, you know, tell us. Romans 8:27, when it says to us, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. Makes intercession for the saints. In other words, we can pray for the saints. You can pray in other tongues. When Paul told us to pray, remember we read about Paul in Ephesians, told us to pray for the saints? One of the things we're supposed to do, we find out here that the Holy Ghost is one who helps us pray for the saints, helps to make intercession for the saints. So you want to pray for Christians? I'll tell you, pray in other tongues for them. Wonderful thing you can do for other Christians. Say, well, I don't know what really to pray for them. Well, that's good. Then you can just turn your mind off and go to town. Hallelujah. And pray God's will or God's purpose and plan for them. You can just go ahead and do that. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit is helping us when we pray. And we need to understand is the Holy Spirit is the helper. In John 14:16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He'll give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever." The word helper there is the word paraclete, is the Greek word. And actually it has a seven meanings. It means helper, it means comforter, counselor, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, or it can mean standby. And actually the Holy Spirit fulfills all those seven meanings of that word. He's all of those. He's a helper, He's a comforter, He's a counselor, He's an intercessor, He's an advocate, He's a strengthener, and He's a standby. That's what He does. In other words, that is His ministry working in us. That's what He does. And that's what He'll be doing. And and understand this, there's nowhere in Scripture that tells us that the Holy Spirit is going to do anything really aside from working with us. He doesn't do things on His own. So if we want to see the Holy Spirit move or the Holy Spirit do things, then we have to be doing things. In other words, doing things that are in line with the Word, and then the Holy Ghost can help us. And so in these areas of prayer, He can help us. And this is why as many people, they're waiting for God to do something, but they have not done anything for the Holy Ghost to help them do something. They want God will just do it. Oh, no, He won't. He does things through us. And that's why you have the Holy Spirit. Because what God's called you to do, you cannot do it without Him. There's no way to accomplish it. You cannot. So we settle that fix it. Well, you say to God, well, I can't do that. If you'd listen carefully, He'd be saying to you, I know that's why I gave you the Holy Ghost. I knew you couldn't. So you didn't surprise me at all. I gave you the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you see, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:17, it says, tells us, and if children, speaking of us, us being children of God, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's what we are. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're working together with Jesus Christ in the ministry. So when you're praying, what you're working together with Jesus Christ. You know, some people, you know, we're no such thing as a person has a ministry outside of Jesus Christ. Because really, we're in the ministry of Jesus. It's Jesus Christ's ministry, and we're joint heirs in that ministry. We're joint heirs in the authority. We're seated together on His throne. So we're working together. The Holy Spirit, His job is to take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to us. He works through us the will and purposes and plans of Jesus Christ. Always understand that. If you want to know what the Holy Ghost is going to do, well then learn what Jesus does. Learn what Jesus is doing, because you'll know what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Spirit doesn't work outside of the line of what Jesus Christ. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ. We're just partakers and joint heirs in this ministry and working with Him. And in 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, then as workers together with Him, also plead with you to receive the grace of God. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Do you realize people receive the grace of God in vain? See, I can receive the grace of God in vain by not working alone, working together with Jesus. The grace of God will not do me any good working outside of Jesus. No matter how much grace I have, my grace works in the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's where it works at. And we're workers together with Him. Hallelujah. It's not me just working with Him. He's working with me. And if you understand that, you start to get a hold of things. I've watched people in the ministry, you know, just, oh man, get themselves in tons of trouble, have all kind of, I've watched people get into poverty in ministry because they don't rely on the Holy Spirit, they don't work together with Jesus Christ, they try to do it themselves. I've watched, you know, people do it, you know, they God tells them to do something and they're trying to figure out how to get the money and they're taking their own money and doing all kinds of things, and after a while they end up in poverty, they can't make things work because, you know, it's one thing, if God tells me to do something and He can't help provide the money, if we're workers together, then it ain't about me getting to figure it out. If He's telling me He wants to do something, He better have some money in His pocket to do it. You know, if we're working together, I don't mind helping Him out. I don't mind giving into the ministry. I've sure done a ton of that. I've given a lot of money to the ministry. And I've sure done that. But I want to tell you this, I ain't taking care of it all. If He can't, then He's got a problem. And He's a lot richer than it is. And He's a lot smarter than it is. So I expect him to do a bigger share. All I do is my part. And you got to do your part. And that's what you want to walk in. Start to learn that about God. You know, there's a lot of things that people carry as a burden, in a sense, to trying to make they feel that they have to do it. No, you want to trust God to work. And if he tells you to do something, then he needs to get in on it and start to help. You know, I always tell the Lord this. The Lord tell me to do something. I'll say, yeah, Lord, you want me to do that? I'll do it. I'll find. As soon as you get the money to me, I'll start. Hallelujah. I believe you'll bring it to me. Now, what I'll begin to do, I'll begin to act in faith like he's bringing it to me. But I will guarantee you, he'll bring it to me. He has to. That's what he's got to do. And so we got to start walking in line with that, start, you know, acting in line with those things. This is all part of this, operating over there in the area of the Spirit. We pray in tongues. We're relying on God. Hallelujah. Don't get around where you're just relying on yourself for what you can do. So don't receive the grace of God in vain. Hallelujah. Let God's grace work in you. Hallelujah. And it'll be a great blessing. One of the things praying in tongues will do in your life, we want to look at, is praying in tongues eliminates selfishness in prayer. It eliminates selfishness in prayer. And it's easy because, you know, it's easy. You know, we get over because, you know, as finite beings, we see the things around us and we, what happens is, you know, it's easy to, you know, always be praying, you know, for your own and, you know, the ones around you and the ones. And what happens, and really with a lot of people, they end up with a very selfish prayer life and they don't realize it. I know people, you know, that, you know, I mean, my God, they must have spent 90% of their prayer life praying for their families. All the time. And I learned a long time ago that, you know, I don't have to spend all that time praying about my family. The best, one of the greatest things that I can do, the biggest thing I can do is walk with God concerning my family. That's the biggest thing I can do, is walk with God. And it's learning to do that. It's learning to walk with God. And because if I walk with God, you know, it's the Lord taught me back when I was a young Christian the fact of it. He said, I didn't spare Noah's family because he was righteous. He said, I spared his family because Noah was righteous. He said, and nowhere in the Scripture does it ever say that his family was righteous. And so I learned that because the Lord told me. I had asked him why when I was unsaved, like I sure should have been dead. I mean, all the drugs and alcohol, overdoses, crazy stuff that I did in cars, driving drunk, and even when I was turning around sober, some of the craziest things I did in vehicles. Jump stuff, do all kinds of things in vehicles. Drive down the road 100 miles an hour and bring Turner right around on the road back, just zipper right around on the road and back the other way. Do wild and crazy stuff. All over. Went to Vietnam, never got injured at all or nothing. You know, probably most I ever got hurt was falling off a bar stool somewhere. But that would have probably the worst thing that happened to me. But I didn't. And drugs and everything else. I mean, I was unsaved, living like hell, you know. And so I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, it doesn't make sense to me because I said, friends are dead. I said, people that I know that they didn't live half as bad as I did. And some of my words, I would consider them really nice people. They never did anything I did. I said, they're dead. How come? And he said, I spared you because your father, he walked righteous before me. And that's when I found out the power. I learned in the beginning of my Christian life the power of living a righteous life, of the effect it has concerning family. So, and praise God. I learned that fact was one of the things that is, I was really, you know, that helped me as starting off as a Christian because realizing is not to have a selfish life. Because how my life could affect other people. And I found out as I went on, it wasn't just the effect on me and my dad's family. But I found out that the effect it made on other people. And so the effect that we can have on others' lives. And just because my dad, now, hey, my dad wasn't a perfect man by no means. But you know, what he knew, he walked in as best as he understood. And he walked right as best he understood. And my dad did some crazy things and some stuff I'd have thought was just, you know, really out there. But nonetheless, see, God honored him Because, you know, his heart, my dad always loved God. There's one thing, you know, there's nothing in between is a fact of, you know, it wasn't a matter of, and you need to know that about yourself. You know, if you think God likes you because you don't do stuff wrong, you're worse off than the person doing something wrong because you're further away from God than the person that's doing something wrong. Because God's not judging by the outside. God's judging by the heart. And I know that. I know that for a fact. It has amazed me at times how God has spoken to me, sometimes even through people prophesied to me and stuff and things, because I know things that I went through and things I didn't do right. But my heart was always toward God. I just did some dumb stuff. And I just maybe didn't walk like I should, or I didn't obey like I should have in things. And consistently, God would have somebody come to me and say, you know, God, and they'd make statements like, you know, you sought after God and you wanted to walk after God and God has seen your heart. And I think, dear Lord, they should be saying something bad, but they're not. It's because, see, it's one of the things is man judges by outward sin and we make that the biggie. While the whole time there are people committing sins of the heart that are 1,000 times worse than the sin of the flesh. But we'll accept that. It's all about what's on the outside. And see, we need to know that, because what happens is we end up building a selfish life. We end up building a little crown, a little corner, our own little castle, thinking we're wonderful. That's where religion starts. Religion starts in the place that I'm so nice and I'm so good and I'm just doing everything right. And these other people out here, they're making mistakes. They're not as good as me. Well, I'm going to tell you what, they're better. See, don't want to go there. Because, see, that attitude makes everybody better than you. That makes everybody better than you. Because people don't know what a sin that is. Because I'll tell you, Satan will destroy your life thinking like that. Don't get into that thinking in the area. How wonderful I am. I'll tell you, if it wouldn't be for Jesus Christ, I know this, I would not be alive today. If it would not be for Jesus Christ. And since I've walked this road, if it would not be for Jesus Christ, I probably wouldn't be here today. Because the devil tried on occasions to do some things. But it's because of Jesus Christ. And I know my heart was changed by God. Your heart was changed by God. It wasn't changed by you. It was changed by God. You never had a good, righteous idea in your life till you got born again. You never had any intent to do good. Although you tried maybe as a sinner. But you know, there was a desire put in us to do good and do what's right. There was a desire, and that was because being born again. So it's God working in us. And so, I mean, always view it that way. We don't want to get over in this area, because people do get in the area where they have a selfish prayer life, where they become in the area where, you know, it's just always praying about the things around me. This is a wonder about praying in tongues, because you can break away from that selfish prayer life, for it isn't just about you. And because you couldn't selfishly pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost wouldn't cooperate with you. So it's good. It's good. But see, it's number one. I've learned this a long, long time ago. One of the greatest pleasures that you can have in Christianity is to see other people blessed. It truly is. It is more blessed to give than receive. It is absolutely wonderful to see other people blessed. It's a wonderful thing. And so that's what we want to do, is see others blessed. And when we get over and we're praying the perfect will of God, when we get into that area where we can pray out the perfect will of God, because as Romans 12:2 says this, Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But one of the areas of being renewed in our mind is the understanding about the power of praying in tongues. That's one of the areas to get her, because look what he says, you may prove what is that good and that good, acceptable and perfect will of God. When you pray in tongues, you step right into the perfect will of God. You begin to pray for somebody, you stepped right into the perfect will of God to pray for that individual. And understand, sometimes I found this out. Things didn't turn out like I thought they were, but they turned out like God wanted them. You know, one of the things is I found out from people generally praying, people in their selfish prayers, they'll pray to keep their kids around them. They'll pray to keep, you know, and sometimes God wants to do something else. He wants to send them to China, but they want them near them so they can, you know, control and they can have, you know, the kids near them and everything. You know, I've learned with my kids. I prayed for my kids. I knew concerning my daughters, I knew things about their life. I knew things about their callings. I knew things. I never talked to them about it. I praying in tongues. I found out things, new things, God's plan and purpose. And I remember my youngest daughter coming to me one after she came through Bible school, and she came to me and spoke to me about some things. And I just said to her, I just looked at her, and she said, "Well, Dad, what do you think?" I said, "Honey, I've known this for years. Well, she said, "Well, why didn't you ever tell me?" I said, "It wasn't my place to tell you." I said, "You need to hear from heaven, and you've heard from heaven. You know what God wants you to do." But I'd prayed about those things a long, long time ago, years before. And I saw those things, praying them out in the Spirit, God's plans and purposes, and the call of God concerning her life and whatever God wanted to do. And so you see those things, and this is the wonder that you get over there praying. And see, like with me, like, you know, I look and see my grandsons are living out in Omaha, Nebraska, and I'd sure like to be closer to them. I'd sure like to see them. But, you know, I want my family to do the will of God rather than me having be able to see my grandkids all the time. The greatest blessing could have in my life is my daughter and her husband walk in the will of God, not so I get to see my grandkids. You got to throw selfishness out, because if you don't stop that stuff, and you don't stop that when your kids are young, it gets worse as you get old. And after a while, you and the devil are trying to destroy your family. Don't you do that. Let God's perfect will. If God calls my kids to go to China, well, then they go to China. You know, I remember when Elaine and John moved to the Philippines. I remember when they went. You know, it was, you know, you didn't want to stay there, you know, going to the Philippines. And I know Wanda, it bothered her a lot. And I said, "Well, praise God, they're doing the will of God." You know, I ain't going to say nothing else about it. You ain't going to get me to boo and say, "Oh, I wish they were here." No, I don't. I wish they would do the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I don't want anybody to stop me from doing the will of God. I don't want anybody pray. I've had people pray to get me out of the will of God, because to do what they wanted me to do. People would pray, and I'm going to tell you what: when Christians pray and they get on the devil's side, there's a lot of power there, and boy, the devil starts to working. See, this is why we got to be careful about this stuff and praying, because we can open up a can of worms we wish we'd have never opened up. Always allow God to do His will. Let God speak to people's hearts, and whether it's in our family or whomever, let's let God work it. We want the perfect will of God, because the perfect will of God is the best thing. You and I are going to find this out. One day, Jesus Christ is going to show up, and as we know it, as the church, this age ends. Everything changes completely for us. Nothing will be the same. Nothing's going to be the same again. And you need to understand this. You and I are going to stand before Jesus. And there ain't going to be none of this standing there and say, "I wish I could have seen my grandkids more often." That won't exist. We're going to stand there, and I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be fear and trembling. Because the Bible tells us every Christian is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to be judged by what we did in the flesh. So, I want to be found I was praying in tongues. I want to be found I was praying the will of God, that people do the will of God, and cheering my daughter and her husband on and what they were doing, what God's will for their life, than being a hindrance. See, and that's what we got to do. We need to understand the power that we have. But I will tell you this, if you pray in tongues, it'll change the way you think. It'll change the desires of your heart. I wouldn't want my daughter and husband to do different than what they're doing. They're doing the will of God where they're at and what they're walking in. And so that's where they need to be. That's what they need to do. And so that's the way I don't want it any different than that. I wouldn't want them to come out of the will of God and say, "Well, we're going to go do something else. We don't like to be far away from, you know, you guys." Just say, "No, man, if God sends you to China, go." You know, whatever. You do whatever. And see, this is what we have to do. But see, I've seen this. I've seen families. I've seen Christian families absolutely destroyed. Because what happens in life, it seems good at first. They're keeping everybody around, but everybody's out of the will of God. But I see as life gets, they get older in life, then the families, things start falling apart. People get sick, can't get healed. People, stuff starts happening, all kinds of things. You don't want that. I'll tell you, as we get on in life, that should be our latter years should be the most glorious years. Hallelujah. Because by then we should have learned something. Hallelujah. By then we should have arrived at a place we can grab a hold of some things and, you know, time to enjoy some stuff. Hallelujah. That we could walk in a better place. And so get over in that area. You know, we don't want to pray. We want to get over there. There's the good, there's the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And we're limited in those areas. You know, there's things, times you may know the perfect will of God. Well, you pray that. If you know what God's perfect will is on something, then you pray it. It's like when it comes down to healing, I know what God wants to do for people in healing. I know. I don't have to sit down and pray in tongues to wonder if God wants you well. He does. Now, sometimes maybe there's something from our perspective that we have made them messed up and God can't do what He wants to do. But nonetheless, I know He wants to heal. So I can pray in that direction and then pray in tongues for the individual. Because I don't know everything that's going on, and let God deal with them and work with them. Hallelujah. To bring to pass His perfect will. Praise God. So that's things that we should desire earnestly to do. So only praying out of our mental understanding will probably usually get us no further than lots of times of just praying maybe the acceptable will of God. And see, you can't have a prayer life. You know, I started off as a Christian after I was born again a few months. Then I got filled with the Holy Ghost in my bedroom. And I just, by myself, and had listened to a tape of Kenneth Hagin teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I just got filled with the Holy Ghost. I decided, well, I ain't going to wait to go to church. I'm just going to get filled here. I got faith. So I just got filled with the Holy Ghost. And but up until that time, I prayed from my understanding. I just prayed what I knew. And I can tell you this. I mean, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, it absolutely revolutionized and changed my Christian life. Is number one is I was very fortunate because I didn't have a church people around me trying to tell me something different, and trying to tell me about tongues. And sometimes that there comes, sometimes can be the worst thing is being around people because they can try to talk you out of what you got. I didn't know any other better than praying tongues. I just thought I got this thing, and so I'd just pray in other tongues. And I'd do it, and I prayed in tongues often, and I'd spend time in prayer. Because, you know, I did when I started off. I used to think, my God, how does somebody ever pray for an hour? How do you pray for an hour when you're just doing it out of your mind? And especially, I mean, I was just starting off a Christian. My God, I probably only knew 30 scriptures, and I only knew them because I read them, and I'd have to go look them up so I could pray them. I mean, now I could pray a whole lot more scriptures than that. There's a whole lot more that I could pray for out my understanding. But I found out later, I mean, sometimes I've hooked up over there where an anointing would come on me, and really it would be the anointing really is a prophetic anointing would come on me, and I'd start praying, and I would pray out of my understanding. And really, in a sense, you say you're praying out of your understanding, but really it's coming out of your spirit. And it's coming out sometimes so fast your mind don't have time to keep up with it, to think the thoughts about it. And you have that, it just pours out of you. And I've done that where I prayed for long periods of times with that anointing. That's nice, but I have learned, I have done it, but I prayed, just in my understanding about things, we're just yielding over to my own spirit. Because in your spirit, your own human spirit knows a lot more than your mind knows. Your own human spirit. And when you get over there in the area of the spirit, and you get out of the understanding area, and you get out, you know, sometimes it takes you a while to pray till you really get over in the spirit. Where you sort of aren't any more over there thinking about the coffee maker or thinking about this or thinking about that, where those stuff stops and you're really over in the area of the spirit. And all of a sudden there's things that just come up to you while you're praying, things to pray, and just like there's just a knowing, to know to pray, to know to do things. It's kind of just coming out of your spirit. And really, that you want to do that. What's in your spirit, you want to pray those things out. That's where faith operates from. Is out of your spirit. So you want to operate there. Now you can pray. Now you need to understand this, because if you pray and you don't know the will of God and you get over and you're praying, you can pray things that are out of the will of God. You can bring them to pass too. Don't let anybody ever kid you of that. You know, these insane Christians out here. Well, if God don't want you to have it, he won't give it to you. Well, you tell the children of Israel that. They got a king, and from the day they got the king up till today, they have never been in the perfect will of God as a nation. So tell me you can't get, God don't give it to you if he knows it's not good for you. I said, that's about stupid. You know, read the Bible sometime. People do. People ask, and really, many people have asked God for things. And you know, it's one of the things that about is I've learned this over time of asking God for things. Because I realized that in the beginning, you know, you start off as your baby Christian and you're asking God for stuff. And you're asking best as you understand and know, and God's working with you there. And understand, God's not working against you. He's trying to get you to use your faith. But I realized that today as I look back, man, if I would have known better at that time, there's certain things I wouldn't have prayed for certain outcomes and certain directions. I wouldn't have done that because that really wasn't the best. Really wasn't going to work. So in other words, it was okay. God worked in that and worked with me through that. But we need to, as we get older, I find too many Christians are still trying to have a baby Christian prayer life. You got to develop where you know more than just the goodwill of God or the get past stuff. Where when you're praying about stuff that, you know, you want to get over to where you're praying out the perfect will of God. You know, and there's things that I come to sometimes where I just sit down and say, Lord, I know about this and I like to have this, you know, a certain way. But I said, Lord, if you have something else that you know, I want to know. I don't want to just step out and start to ask for something. We ask for things too quickly. We do too many things. We do them off the spur of the moment. We do them off because of our, you know, emotions or whatever else at the time. You know, you see people doing that. I see people, you know, you go out here and, you know, people, you see some Christians around and somebody, you know, gets injured or hurt, you know, and then right away, oh, we got to pray right now. We got to, oh, yes, got to, hold it. Praying out of worry ain't going to do nothing for nobody anyhow. Other than invite the devil and probably about, you know, 27 other demons to come in and help. We're praying by faith. We don't have to be moved by fear. You know, well, if we don't do something, they're going to die. Well, then we'll raise them from the dead. Shut up. You know? But if you keep it up, you'll kill them quick. It's what you want to, and understand your decisions. I made decisions. I prayed about things, made decisions quickly that I wish I wouldn't have made. But I prayed for answers, and I got them. But when I look back at it, I said, boy, I wish I'd had a little more maturity back then to know not to ask so quickly. I learned from Kenneth Hagin over the years, and it's one of the things that he said. And I learned, you know, a guy that knew about healing, a guy that walked in divine health, a guy who understood healing, he sure did. And when Kenneth Hagin said this, I heard him say this, he said, if any time a sickness or anything, something happened to our family, he said, I never prayed right away. I thought, dear God. He said, I'd always get the Bible out. He said, I know the scriptures. I can quote them. But he said, I would get the Bible out and I sit and he said, I would read and meditate over those scriptures until he said, I was ready to pray. You should never pray till you're ready to pray. If you're praying and you don't believe, the Bible says this concerning sin. If it ain't faith, it's sin. We prayed a lot of prayers, people called faith prayers, and they were sin prayers. Because the person never got themselves to the place to believe. They just jumped right in and played. Well, I'm just going to make a confession. And I learned. I've learned over time. Things come up and people want me to just jump and pray. Let's pray right away. No, I want to think about this a little bit. I got a little bit of good sense in my head now. You know, years ago, you'd have got me to jump quick, but I won't now. I'm not going to because I don't want to. It's not just about me going to prayer and asking. I want to know God's opinion on this thing. Where's he going? What's he doing? If he has something in on, I want to know. If he has something he wants to do here, I want to know. I want to be hooked up with the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be wasting my time. I don't want to end up with something good when we could have had best. Amen?
Amen.
And so the fear that'll want to grip you is when something happens, we got to get it fixed immediately. If it ain't fixed immediately, we got to just do it. No, I'm sorry, that isn't the way it works. Hallelujah. We didn't mess up immediately. You know, just stuff we did, you know, when it showed up, you know, we messed up on things. But fixing things, if we would have taken the time and maturity in the areas, because what happens is as our prayers, lots of times in these kinds of areas, become selfish prayers. Our prayers become about us. The person that needs healed, it's more about how we feel about the thing is what we're praying than really for them. You know, it's just, it's, and people have, you have to be able to identify that. Am I praying for their good or is this about me? Am I praying for my kids for my good is because this really bothers me. Why am I praying about it? Well, let me tell you, I learned this over time. Attitude's everything. Having the right attitude about it. Say, what about them? Let's stop. This isn't about me, it's about them. And so, now that's part of growing up. I don't have none of that in my notes, but Lord, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit, because God wants us to mature into some things, to start to develop. Now, I'm saying these things, if you aren't there, you know, that doesn't matter. But if we show you where you can go to, hallelujah, you have a target for something to shoot at. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you've arrived there or not. But I've learned over time of the things of don't get into the areas of worry, don't worry, pray, don't do those things. I've seen people do it 1,000 times, and I've watched the outcome of it. It's never good. It's never good. And if people have taken their time and sought God instead of what they want, they sought an answer instead of seeking God, and then finding out the answer that they really wanted and needed, and then take that one, they'd have been better off, because till they got down the road, things went off track for a long time. It took a lot longer to get things fixed. It takes a lot longer. So, you know, seek God. God, you know, I want to know. I need to know what to do. I need to know. Lord God, I need your opinion. It'd be good to have. Lord, I know what my opinion is, but, you know, mine's based upon my knowledge. God's opinions are based on knowing everything. Which one do we want to weigh? You know, I'd find out that, hey, I've had this with the Lord, that what I was asking the Lord about is exactly what he wanted to do. But it's good to get his opinion, because what? We're workers together with him. It's good to find out the business partner, what he has to say on the deal. It's good to ask him. I know at times I didn't ask him. So sometimes I just went on and did my thing and got it done and asked God to fix up my mess. Then you got into praying twice. I get back over and pray to God, get my mess fixed up. Oh, praise God. Might as well laugh. It's true nonetheless. Believe me, I didn't laugh about none of it when it was happening. But I look back and I think, oh my God. I must have seemed like a clown to God. He thought he was in a circus. He says, yeah, like we must be entertaining to him. Because he ain't mad. He still loves us. So I figure he has a pretty good sense of humor. And he is very good at overlooking stupidity. I know. He's good at it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, and it's another thing. I mean, God overlooks our stupidity. And sometimes, you know, here's one thing of it is, you don't, when you mess up, don't keep that thing and carrying on with you. You know, you got to take the same attitude with God. You got to sometimes just overlook stupidity. Just mark it up to a learning experience. Hallelujah. Then pick it up and go on. You got to do that in life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wow, time does fly when you're having fun, don't it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think, let me see, how long have we been going on this? Yeah, we've been going almost an hour. Yeah, and I don't want to get started into the next one because that'll go on a little bit. I want to stop there at that point. But are you learning a lot of things about this praying in tongues stuff? It's powerful. It's a powerful thing. And it is wonderful, because really, one of the things we'll talk about, because tongues is supernatural. It's a supernatural thing. Christians want to enter the supernatural, and they have the gift of tongues, and they never use it. They don't use it. And they're saying, I want supernatural. Man, I'm just going to tell you this. You don't get any more supernatural in tongues. You know, praying things out in tongues, I know... I had prayed in general. I told the story many times before about Wanda's uncle. He fallen was a tractor. He was running a tractor on a bank, and he flipped down. The tractor rolled, and he had a head injury. And they were going to operate on him. They had a blood clot in his brain, and they said they were going to operate. They were going to stop the bleeding, but they said he wouldn't mentally. He wouldn't be, you know, the same anymore. And they said those things and about him. And I got over, and I was just praying in general for him. And I prayed in tongues some for him, and I prayed, you know, and about him. And so it was interesting. He had the day he had his operation, it turned out that we had plans, where some people had come to our house with some Christian friends who had came for dinner. And and they were there for dinner, and we were just sitting down to eat. You know, you have a guest invited to your home, and it just kept coming to me, you need to go upstairs and pray. You need to go upstairs and pray. And I often thought about this, what would have happened had I not done it. Just kept coming to me to go upstairs and pray. And really, you know, God didn't force me to go upstairs and pray, but there's one thing, as time as a young Christian, I got sensitive to things in the spirit, because I used to spend a lot of time with God and spend a lot of time praying in tongues and things, and my spirit was, and I tell you, I was just totally uncomfortable sitting at the table. And then finally I just said to Wanda, I said, Wanda, I got to go upstairs and pray. And I just told the guests, I got to go upstairs. I said, I have to do something here. And I said, I just can't sit here. But I said, Wanda will be here in a tent. But I said, I got to go. So I went upstairs in the bedroom. When I went up, this is because you have this all of a sudden inside of you. I mean, you got this thing about, you know, God's called you up there for something. I ain't got a clue what it is. He ain't told me. And you don't know anything in your mind to do. You don't know anything. But all I knew is, you know, you got to pray. And I start praying in other tongues. And I'm just up there praying in other tongues in the bedroom. I'm in the bedroom just praying in tongues. Well, after a time, I was up there for a while. And then this guy, one of the dinner guests, came up and he said, God called you up here to pray, didn't he? I said, yes. And he said, what for? I said, I ain't got a clue. I don't know. I said, I'm just here. So I just prayed in tongues and kept praying in tongues. And he was there praying, and I just praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, it's just like an anointing just dropped on me. I didn't know it was the first time I ever have it happen. I didn't realize it was a gift of faith. The gift of faith dropped on me. And it just dropped on me, and it's... the first thing that came to me was my wife's uncle, Ivan. And it dropped on me for that. And it's most one thing about the gift of faith, it's totally different. It's not like your own personal faith. Your own personal faith, you can be moved off of it. When the gift of faith goes into operation, you couldn't be moved off of that. I'm going to tell you, if they took you outside and said they're going to shoot you, you'd just say, well, go ahead and shoot me. What I believe is coming to pass, that's it. There ain't nothing going to stop, because you just know it. You just know it. And that dropped on me. And I mean, the power of God, I mean, fell in with that, and his name was Ivan Schaefer, and I said, Ivan Schaefer is healed in the name of Jesus. And when I said that, the power of God hit me and knocked me down on the floor. I mean, I went out, no catchers, you know, there were no catchers in the bedroom. I hit the floor, probably bounced. I mean, I slammed down on the floor. And I laid there and laughed for a long time. But I knew, I remember some time till I could get up. I went downstairs and I said to Wanda, I said, Wanda, don't worry at all about your uncle. I said, He's completely healed. He's fine. I said, everything's okay. I said, don't even think a thought about it. Well, the next day, she was going to the hospital to go up and see him, because he wasn't supposed to have any visitors that night, because they had him, you know, I guess they probably had him intensive care because of the brain operation. And so people weren't allowed to go in and see him. I said, when you go up there, don't worry about it. He's going to be fine. Everything's okay. Well, I could not. I mean, there's no way anybody had ever talked me out of it. He wasn't healed. I mean, I knew. That anointing was on me, and I'll never forget that anointing stayed on me all night. I mean, I just could not get away from that thing, and I knew it. And she went up to the hospital the next day, and when she came back home, she had taken Elena up, and Elena was just a little girl. You know, she just learned to walk and stuff, and carried around still a lot. And she said, my God, she's got up there. She said, Ivan's walking around the hall like he's nothing wrong with him, like nothing ever happened. And I said, he's carrying Elena around. He's turning around talking to everybody. The doctors are like, what on earth is this? Man was completely, completely normal. But had I not prayed, and the whole thing was, what if I'd have went there just to pray in what I knew or what I thought? What if that's all I had? This is one of the things, is people who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't realize how, they say they want to help people. They don't realize how limited they are. They are so limited because they can only help what they actually know about. That's all they can help with. And then they can't even help that good. Then they're limited because of their knowledge. See, God could use me in that area to pray. He could use me for that, to pray that. Outside of my knowledge, I wasn't thinking about Ivan when I was set up. I mean, I had no sense of anything in my spirit about Ivan. I had no sense at all about that. You know, I was just up there praying in tongues. Just, man, there's something going on here. I don't know what. And I'm just praying away. Well, maybe it was best I did one. If I'd go to the room thinking about Ivan, maybe I prayed out what I wanted. I don't know. God had a better plan. you know. And so God fulfilled that. And so that's why I encourage you, because God can use you over in these areas to do things that your mind, I mean, is beyond what your mind could ever think to do. Hallelujah. Tongues is the gateway to the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. People who don't pray in tongues are not going to see much of anything. And I mean, you don't care if it's a Christian baptized in the Holy Ghost. If they don't pray in tongues much, they aren't going to see much of the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. They won't see it. I realize, see, when I started off with all this praying in tongues and doing it, and manifestations of the Spirit would start. I was just a young Christian, but manifestations, because I'd just get over in the Spirit. I'd get over there and pray, and stuff would happen. And it wasn't because Ed Gibson was anything special. It's just because what I was doing. I was getting over in the Spirit realm, and I got over there, and me and the Holy Ghost over in the Spirit realm, and the Holy Ghost would start manifesting Himself through me. And time and time again, I could sit here and tell you story after story of praying about things. That God, the Holy Ghost, came on me. Praying, things happened to people. People being healed. They didn't even know. People didn't know the day. They're healed. They were healed. I prayed for them. They got healed. I was praying for them. God, give the Spirit of God come on me, and I'd pray for people. I many times prayed for people in my bedroom, praying for people. People get delivered and healed, and they didn't. People think, oh, yeah, but I was really believing God. If I hadn't been up in that bedroom praying, they would have never got it. And thank God. You know, you need to know that. There's lots of things we got through as younger Christians because somebody else yielded to the Holy Ghost. Somebody else, hallelujah, was believing God. Somebody else got used by God, and thank God. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I just want to help in the same way that somebody helped me. Hallelujah. In the same way, let God use me. Let God use you. Take the time to pray in other tongues. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say thank you again tonight. Father, it's always good to talk about the things of the Spirit. It's always wonderful to talk about the things of heaven. Hallelujah. And Father, I just want to thank you. Father, we don't want to go off to heaven till we have some more heaven right here on the earth. Hallelujah. We want heaven displayed in a more majestic way and a more powerful way here and now. Lord God, there are so many out here, Lord God, that don't know you and Jesus. If you came today, oh Lord God, there are so many, Lord God, slipping off into eternity. And Father God, I just, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I just thank you, Father, for giving us space and time in this hour, Lord God, for the move of your Holy Ghost. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to move in a powerful and mighty way through the church of Jesus Christ in these last days and hours. Father God, that many are going to flood into the kingdom because Jesus Christ is going to become real. Hallelujah. He's going to be manifested as real in the church. Hallelujah. Not just words on a page, but men's eyes will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father. Father, we set ourselves to be used. Father, I don't want to be one who watches. I don't want to be sitting in the stands. Father God, I want to be playing on the field. Hallelujah. I want to be used. And Father, I believe these ones here, they want to be used of the Spirit of God. They want God to demonstrate and manifest Himself through them. Father God, I pray and thank you that they will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. That God will use them. God will manifest. Father God, Father, I don't care what situation we seem to be in right now or what it seems. There are limits right now. Father God, with you, there's no limits. And Father God, our trust is in what you will do, not what we can do. Father God, hallelujah. Father, you have the ability to turn us into something we could have never been. And Lord God, I'm counting on you doing that. Hallelujah. Father God, I'm surely not going to be what I am now. Glory to God. And they're not going to be what they are now. But Father God, they're going to be transformed. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we're going to be used mightily. And your glory, hallelujah, your glory will be revealed. Hallelujah. To us and through us. And men and women will glorify God, hallelujah, in the earth. The people of the earth will have a great shout for the God of heaven, hallelujah. And when Jesus Christ returns, there's a glorious church, hallelujah. Not a few, but many, glory to God, hallelujah. Of every tongue, of every nation, of every kindred, hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.